reports direct from Melbourne courtside and from our offices in New York City. It's the Australian Open edition of the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
One of the Australian Open champions has been named, and that's Kim Clijsters, who beat Li Na in the final today in three sets. I'm Ed McGrogan here with Steve Tigner, who was at the match down in Melbourne. Steve, I'm gonna let you take away most of this. I have a bit of a sore throat too, anyway, so I'm gonna let defer most of talking to your end. But what did you, what did you see from Clijsters that that took this match into her favor? Because it didn't look like it was gonna be that way for a little while.
Yeah, it's typically, I mean, usually she's the one who starts fast. She got ahead of Li Na 2 weeks ago in Sydney, 5-love in the first set. She ended up losing that set in the match, but this time she started slowly. She won the first 8 points, but then she lost the first set 6-3. Li really was just out hitting her from the baseline. They play similar games, similar strengths, big two-handed backhand, and sort of hit the ball in physical style. But Li was out hitting her start. I thought, Kim, you know, I was sort of expected. As the second set went on, it was close. It looked like Kim might lose it. She's, you know, when she gets down, we've talked about it before, she tends to rush, and she tends not to think a lot, it seems. She hits harder and sort of gets the points over faster. It doesn't usually work out. This time she didn't do that. She mixed it up. She did a little of what Federer tried to do for a while against Djokovic, sort of a junk strategy, and she felt like it just threw Li off a little bit, and she felt that she could see that Li was getting nervous, and that gave Kim some confidence in the second set, and so, which I think is, you know, a real product of experience. I think she's learning. Maybe it's taken her a while, but it seems like she's learning how to win, still learning how to win these types of matches after all these years.
Yeah, and it was pretty evident that Li was getting kind of taken over by some things out of her control. There's a lot of mentions of the crowd there. I mean, since you were there, was there as much that warranted that? Was there a lot of like calls from the crowd, particularly those on her own supporting side?
Yeah, well, you could hear them. They were on the opposite side of the court from where I was, where she was looking, where you could hear some things. You could hear things during points. And she said that her fans, the Chinese fans, were trying to coach her during the points, tell her, you know, what to do during the points, like where to hit the ball and how to do it. And that, you know, that really irritated her. And she was sort of laughing about it afterwards, but she was like, you know, please don't try to coach me in the middle of a point. So that was unfortunate, considering it was such a big deal for the country and for her to be the first Chinese woman in the slam final to have this happen was too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seemed like from that point on, it kind of went slowly but surely into Clijsters' favor.
Got better, and I felt like Clijsters was interested in this third set, that she was much more outwardly determined than normal. Normally she sort of freezes up or just doesn't show much emotion. But, this time you could see that she was after it, and she was gonna show it, and she, you know, she will, obviously she always wants to win, but she sort of more determined to make it happen this time, which I also thought was some sign of experience.
Really, really commanding final game too at Love. I remember the first. That's obviously where there were so many breaks in the match already, and I think about the breaks of the match. It was just
15 of them. 15.
Yeah, and like you, there's plenty of breaks. I mean, I think it was almost due more to how the returning was going. It seemed like I was writing on the live chat once during the match. It was like Li Na is up a set and a hold in the second set because it just got that out of hand. But at 5-3 in the third, where Clijsters has everything on the line, basically, right off the bat she plays 2 points, ends them with two of like her best looking forehands in the match, and just takes it at Love, really just assumes the control of it. You know,
she did that against Venus at the Open, which was also a surprise. Something like that, if it wasn't at Love, it was a similar final game that was she didn't expect in that situation. She did it this time, you know. And then unfortunately, she comes off the court and says she's done after this year, which is just too bad. You sort of feel like it's almost like now she's really learning how to win these things, and she immediately talks about retiring. And hopefully that's not completely. Hopefully that's not set in stone. She wants to play the Olympics next year as well.
Yeah, she's I mean, my perspective, also very very likable player. And can I mention that the U.S. Open could most definitely take a page from the Australian Open and how they conduct their post-title interviews on court, because they always seem to be much more well done in the Australian Open. They give the players time to say what they want. They don't jump in with this is the Lexus Award for, you know, whatever it is. And Kleister's speech, I thought at the end was pretty nice to hear. I really enjoyed it, and so was Lee's actually. So I thought the two actually did a really nice job when the match was over as well.
Yeah, the trophy ceremonies are always the best. They're like they put the U.S. Open to shame. They don't have the talk about the money too much. They don't have the TV announcers do it. They don't, you know, it's definitely much more professional, and something to do with dimming the lights in there that really helps.
Yeah, I noticed.
That gives it a certain mood, and it's quiet at the Open. There's music blaring, and obviously the lights aren't dimmed. So something about setting the mood, that Aussies do that well.
Yeah. Well, that's that match. I guess Kim is now halfway to the Kim Slam, I suppose. So we'll see how that goes the rest of the year. There's that too to talk about. But that's that for the women's final, and then tomorrow the men's final. Steve will be out there again, of course, and we'll do all the same things: live chats, racket reactions, follow up stories, and everything. Another podcast too. So check back in then at tennis.com, and thanks for listening.
You've been enjoying tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to tennis.com.